Boston?
Yeah.
I don't know the song, but they got a bit of an iconic sound. You listen to them a little bit growing up?
Not as much. Mm-mm.
This is a Hatch family
stable. Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago, yes. Boston, no.
No.
I dug a little Boston.
Did you?
Yeah.
Not much.
I mean, I wasn't going out of my way to listen to Boston, but it's fine.
See, it gets the ultimate ugliness of me. I mean, there are some that I have a negative opinion towards. Then there are some I'm just like...
apathetic.
Yeah, I don't care.
Take it, leave it, whatever.
That's Boston for me.
I don't mean to be that guy, but it's kind of Chicago with me, too.
No, it is not.
A little bit.
It's Peter Cetera is one of the greatest voices in the history of music.
It is kind of sappy, though.
Oh, you're doing this because of my Eagles take.
No,
you're,
I'm not.
You're
I'm
doing
not saying,
this.
I'm not saying to, I hate the. I hate Chicago. Okay. It's just, it wasn't just up there for me.
I'd rather you hate him than just not care, like just completely dismiss him as an iconic band. Like, Peter, that... Are you doing this to upset me?
I'm making conversation about these bands. That's all.
Okay.
And I'm pretty much the same way about Boston too. It just doesn't like. Oh, okay. That's a nice tune. Same thing with Chicago.
All right. So
is there
a poll question?
You're the inspiration. That song, right?
Yeah.
Is that Chicago or is that Peter's solo?
That's Chicago.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Chicago versus Boston on a poll question.
Oh, Chicago will crush.
Yeah.
Boston.
3-1.
I'd say it'll be 65-35.
Yeah.
What do you think, Hatch?
Yeah, I'd say in that range, 70-30.
Yeah. I see Boston and the Hatch family, we love that band.
Really?
My dad played in rock bands growing up, and Boston was one of the bands.
Wow. Papa Hatch was a rocker,
he's a,
huh?
He's a drummer.
In the 70s?
Yeah, 70 or 80s. He had shoulder-length hair, whole deal, man. Like,
what?
Really? My dad, yep.
The president of the mothership empire over there, huh?
Uh-huh. Yep. I've got some pictures of him I can pull out at any time I want.
Yeah, we're going to need those. Scotty and I are going to need some of those.
Yeah, so Boston.
Well, we call job security.
Boston, Van Halen, Chicago to a lesser degree, but they're all staples in the Hatch household.
Van Halen, huh?
Yeah, Van Halen is a big one.
Sammy or David Lee Roth?
Mixture of both. I know my dad would. My dad actually kind of prefers Sammy, funny enough.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, Utah, what a win.
Yeah.
Down 21-7, thinking the world's about to come to an end, and Utah puts the clamps down defensively. I think they have all four drives go for touchdowns to start the second half. It's an incredibly impressive performance.
So I wanted to start with a really quick apology. It wasn't a complete miss by me in the Morning After podcast, but I did have a couple of people mention it. I was talking about some of the pressure. I said the pocket was holding up okay in the first parts of the first quarter. And then Bam Olsini gave up a strip sack, is what I said on the Morning After podcast. He didn't give up a strip sack. He gave up the pressure that forced Cam Rising off of a quick throw and into an interception. So that it isn't all on Bam that there was an interception. Cam Rising could have tucked that, gone down, but that pressure did lead to the interception.
Yeah.
And so that's what I meant. And I do apologize for having a missed stat on there. I was actually thinking of a different game because I was consuming a lot of football on Saturday and then waking up early Sunday morning to give you the Morning After podcast. I was just a little off. So I did want to apologize to Bam and apologize to anybody out there on that. It did, however, lead to one of the two turnovers in the first half of that game, mm-hmm. which was brutal. The second turnover was equally as frustrating, if not more frustrating, in the first half because Utah's in scoring position just before the half. They have an opportunity to at least put 3 points on the board if not find their way in a couple of plays in the end zone. But, you know, you play it safe. You make sure that you get that field goal team on the field and you kick that field goal just before the half. And I think it would have been 14-10 Arizona State, right?
Yeah.
14-10 if they Correct. Would have kicked a field goal. Instead, you throw another pick, and Arizona State has a couple of interceptions. They've got the lead. They've got momentum. And they go into half, and I'm thinking, oh, boy. This is not
this is a problem.
A good spot
yep.
for Utah to be. Now, if they would have been in Sun Devil Stadium coming out at half, that would have been a bigger issue. But they were Rice Eccles Stadium with, I believe, a record crowd, Scotty.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right.
I think it's the largest crowd, you know, with the remodels and everything that they've got. I think it's the largest crowd to ever take in a Utah game at that Rice Eccles Stadium. And Utah comes back out at the half with the support of their home crowd, with whatever conversation they had at halftime, and they did exactly what you just said. Just do that again, but closer to the mic.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Just got smacked in the face.
They did. Just walloped. It was really brutal. It just right jab
right
and then
in the, right
left
in the,
hook.
Right in the kisser.
Yeah.
Do people even say that anymore?
No.
No, they don't.
So the drives that Utah put together, and I'm looking at my notes.
You're such a bad dude.
First drive, dynamic power runs, play action, different looks, nice Tavian Thomas run for a touchdown.
Can we just give the job to Tavian Thomas already? Give the man the job.
Apparently not. Also in that drive, big blocks from tight ends again. So those are the notes that I've got from that drive. Apparently not. I don't know why.
Maybe this is what works for Tavian Thomas. Maybe it's like, hey, look, it's not quite your job yet. Pledger's going to get the start.
Just dangling the carrot.
And then he's like, I'll show him. And he goes out and runs for a big game. And then he's like, all right, it's my job. And I'm like, no, not yet.
It's not quite there. We need to see more from you. We're going to give Pledger the start.
And maybe,
you know, why?
Maybe that's the mind game they need. And that's fine. Whatever's working, keep doing it, for crying out loud. The confidence, the swagger in the second half. Love the way defensively, I mean, Devin Lloyd doing what Devin Lloyd normally does, especially to put the clamps down on that last drive with the sacks.
He was awesome.
He just all over the field, just a dynamic player. He needs to be your defensive player of the year in the Pac-12.
Do you have the box score in front of you?
How many
sacks did Utah end up with in total?
Five?
Karini Reed, I believe that he had one that he didn't get credited for.
By the way, is this our next great Utah defensive player?
I think so. I think it is. I just had found out recently that he's the son of one of my teammates, Spencer Reed. I didn't know that. And I'd also just recently found out, I believe he was a walk-on at the University of Utah.
Oh, my goodness.
And
well, I know he's just,
that's gonna change,
isn't he just barely off a mission too?
Yeah, I think he is. But if he's anything like his dad, Spencer Reed is still to this day one of the best football players I ever played with.
Four sacks. Lloyd with two, Putu Tau with one, and Junior Tafuna with one.
Okay. It's a couple of defensive linemen. But the one that Karini Reed had did not get credited as a sack, apparently.
Yeah.
But it should have.
Should have been.
So you asked, is he the next? And I think he is the perfect traditional backer body type and style, just like his dad was. The right build, the ability to take on a run block, the ability to get into certain parts of zone coverage and be an okay matchup in certain parts of man responsibilities. You know, you don't want to overload him with quick cuts and those types of things, but, you know, certain responsibilities in coverage. I think that he has the chance to be something real special at the University of Utah for a while. And was really good in this game again, and has been really good since we saw him on the field initially against, I think it was Weber State. We saw him jump on the scene against Weber State, wasn't it?
Yep.
So congratulations to him, and congratulations to his dad. Not to mention that the Reed family, Spencer and Gabe Reed, the two brothers I got to play with, two of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. I believe that Gabe Reed is like a mission president now. He went overseas to be a mission president somewhere.
Wow.
He took his whole family and went to go be a mission president. He's just a good man, and so is Spencer. So I'm excited to see Carini do great things. But as you mentioned, Devin Lloyd, this defense overall doing fantastic things to slow down a very versatile Arizona State offense. And then the way Utah closed this out, Utah converted on so many third downs, and they had a huge touchdown drive to end this thing. And it was a dominating way to put an exclamation mark on a big win against a good team.
Utah 7 of 11 on third down, holding Arizona State to 4 of 12. You rack up 455 yards of total offense, give up 385. You do throw the two interceptions, but you're able to shrug those off and play clean in the second half. You have 31 minutes of total offense.
Jeez.
You run the ball for over 200 yards. And we go back to what you mentioned in terms of going back to the preview show, and I'm sure you brought it up on the pregame show as well. You go and look at the – and let me pull up his page here. But what their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, has been doing in the rushing game – as far as rushing, he's our second-leading rusher. But let's see here. He had 40 against Southern Utah, 125 against UNLV, 8 against BYU, then 75 against Colorado, 45 against UCLA, 76 against Stanford. They're going to give him 32 against Utah, but 25 of those came on that last drive when Arizona State's down by two touchdowns. So a meaningless 25-yard run. Before that,
when Utah's trying to keep everything
exactly
in front of them.
Before that, he had 13 carries for 7 yards. He ends up with 14 and 32.
That's perfect. It's exactly what Utah needed to do. Great defensive game plan, keeping Jaden in front of him, and executing that extremely well. You could see early on in that game that Jaden wasn't going to be, his feet weren't going to be the reason Arizona State was going to win that game. And then on the flip side of that, Scotty, with Cam Rising had multiple big moments in this game. And it was after there was a 4th-and-2 situation in the second half, kind of later in the game. It was 4th-and-2, and Cam Rising extends just a little bit, hits a beautiful, you know, fired down the line strike for a first down, and that then led to 7 points on a touchdown pass to Brant Keithy. But he converted a huge 4th-and-2. And I don't, how many rushing yards did Cam Rising have?
Actually, quite a bit. Hold on.
Because I felt like Cam Rising was more Jaden Daniels than Jaden Daniels.
Six carries for 59 yards and a touchdown, yeah. Long of 12.
So Cam Rising was more that type of quarterback than Daniels, who we thought might be that quarterback. And he was usable in the run. He was accurate in the pass. He played with a lot of heart. You could tell that the team was behind him, and Cam Rising put on a heck of a show. In fact, he had a scramble in the first half of this game that was 15 yards for a touchdown. This was excellent offensive. It was good protection. It was a good pocket. He recognized routes were shut down, and he went on a beautiful scramble for 15 yards for a touchdown to push the score 7-7. It was the only points that Utah would score in the first half of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that came off Cam Rising just being special. And we saw him do the same thing the week before. So I think that Cam Rising has really come along. And then we haven't really talked enough about this Utah offensive line coming along.
And that's, I'm sure, what most people are going to be really fired up about. And it's one thing that you heard Kyle Whittingham say last week after their win against USC, saying the offensive line is starting to gel together. You heard Nick Ford this morning talking about how this team is starting to come together as an offensive line. And look, you run the ball for 200 yards. That's a pretty good sign of where things are going. One thing I did want to point out before we shift into the offensive line talk, though, I love that you had 21 receptions in that game, 21 completions. 11 of those went to the tight ends. You got Kincaid with 4, Keithy with 3, and 2 of those 3 went for touchdowns, and Fotheringham with 4. Feed those tight ends. Mm-hmm. You have the greatest group of tight ends. I don't know if there's another group of tight ends that are better than what Utah have in the country.
And it would be a shame to see them go to waste.
Exactly.
So 3 of those catches that you talked about to Brant Keithy?
Yeah.
2 of his 3 were for touchdowns.
Yep.
That's they're getting in their lanes, they're finding the end zone, they've got sticky fingers, they're all showing that they've got sticky fingers. They're all very usable in route. They're all mismatches. So just use them, max them out. But with that said, it was nice to see a receiver actually leading in receiving yards. Devon Vele, 3 catches for 57 yards, was your leading receiver. And Theo Howard had 3 catches for 41 yards. So you're starting to see receivers come around a little bit. You do need those wideouts a little bit, and you're starting to see them come around a little bit, which is nice. And Britton Covey had 3 catches as well. 3 important catches.
And Britton Covey even getting in the mix in the running game and also into the penalty game as well.
By the way, Britton, if you're listening, don't ever apologize for something.
No, look.
Yeah, Brant Keithy.
You need to flex, go ahead and flex.
Brant Keithy got your back and had a touchdown reception on that drive. I think it was Brant Keithy.
I think it was on the next play.
Yeah, the team's got your back.
Yeah.
No need to apologize. He said the emotions got the best of him and he flexed out. They shouldn't have thrown the flag there anyways. He was just flexing to the crowd. He just didn't know where to look. He just happened to be looking at the player on the ground.
If you've never done it before, you know, sometimes.
Go have a little fun.
Yeah.
It was a nice flex play, man. It was good run and it was a good moment to flex. I did think that Kyle Whittingham's comments about that flex and penalty were pretty funny. He said, that's why he got the flag? I thought he pulled off his helmet to show him how well the Rogaine's working.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that was his comment.
Kyle was having some fun post-game.
Yeah. Hey, you get a win like that, go ahead and have some fun.
Well, that's the other thing.
And, like, we're not all blessed with a head of hair like yours, Kyle, so calm down, man.
Isn't that the truth? But that is the thing. Like,
Kyle's 60-something years old and hasn't lost a follicle in his life.
It's nice to see Kyle having a little bit of fun, though.
Yeah.
If anything, it just showed that Kyle isn't completely detached and disconnected and unable to relate with his team and have a little bit of fun like we've known him to have in the past. That comment was one of the first times that I felt like, this year, that it was like, okay. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not all sad times for Kyle. This is a big win. It followed up a big win against USC. And he has a guy that he knows can take a little bit of ribbon and had a little bit of fun with him. And I thought it was a great sign that this team is they still have the ability and opportunity to come together. And this Arizona State win, to me, was not one that I predicted. But moving forward, they've still got some tough Pac-12 teams. But moving forward, Scotty, when we ran some predictions last week, you and I felt like they've got good shots against Oregon State,
yeah.
UCLA, Stanford, Colorado, and Arizona. You got Oregon that's left in there, and that's going to be a tough challenge. But Oregon's got to come to Rice-Eccles Stadium. Arizona State didn't fare well here. Utah had a good game plan for them. Maybe they come up with something nice for Oregon. And I can almost guarantee you that record that was, I guess that's going to be later November. That's November 20th. Maybe the weather's not as nice.
Probably not.
The kick is not mentioned yet. Please be something earlier than 8:30.
Oh, it's going to be 8:30.
Why does Stanford have to kick at 8:30? November 5th, 8:30. Well, it's on the road.
Yeah, hard pass there.
And Oregon State is on the Pac-12 network? Come on!
Come on, Kolofkov, fix this stuff.
Utah, Oregon State on the Pac-12 network. Great. So nobody gets to see them next week.
Yeah. Good game, too. Should be a good game.
That is. That is 2-4 and two teams. Oregon State needs to redeem themselves after losing to Washington State. Oregon State was on a bye week this week, right?
Yes, they were.
Oh, boy. That's going to be a tough one for Utah.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Thanks for making us part of your day. We're going to chat with Andrew Reinhart from Wasatch Medical coming up here in just a second. But I will say that there's a lot, when you really look at what's going on here in the Pac-12, one thing we do know is that we know nothing about this conference. Not a darn thing.
No. Okay. The one thing that we do know is that we have no idea.
No idea of what's going to happen here. Hey, but look, that win against Arizona State really puts them in the driver's seat.
Well,
here.
We do know this, that Utah right now is the hottest team.
Yep.
Washington State's got 3 wins in the Pac-12. Maybe they're the second hottest team.
The hottest team in the North.
But they can't be the hottest team because Utah started off their 3-game winning streak with a win against Washington State. I have no idea. But I do like what Utah is doing right now, and they do move into prime position as the only undefeated team in the Pac-12 right now in conference play. Utah, let me say that again, Utah is the only undefeated team in Pac-12 play right now.
Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, when it comes to issues in the bedroom, no pills, no surgery, no needles. That's what people want to hear. And this treats the problem, not just a Band-Aid on the problem.
That's exactly right. And it has helped, frankly, so many men with erectile dysfunction. Whether you're out there struggling and it's mild or it's severe, if you're frustrated in the bedroom, Wasatch Medical with this acoustic wave therapy, you're right. It's treating the root cause. It opens up and regrows the blood vessels. The Cleveland Clinic, Cambridge University, and so many others have called this the new standard of care for ED. No pills, no injections, and no surgery.
801-901-8000, and let's help some people out. They need a little extra motivation, which, frankly, everything you're talking about should be motivation enough. But even if they have a couple extra incentives, let's hook some people up.
There is so much value today, yes. If you're ready to regain your love life, get it back to what it was, put a stop to the ED, give us a call now. You'll do the assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound with our medical doctor. It's no charge. The gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom, you guys will love that. And if you're like so many, a little low in the tank, blood work and testosterone, huge value here. That is free today as well.
801-901-8000. You heard the man. Give him a call. Let's get you right. 801-901-8000 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. It's another Pac-12 road trip for Utah as Kyle Whittingham and the Utes head to the Pacific Northwest to battle Oregon State in Corvallis. Catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 4:30 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Ah! From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Brought to you by Zero Res. Let's get those carpets cleaned right now. Look, you got holidays coming up. You want to get those things looking their best. It's been a long summer. Family, pets, who knows what else has been dragging all kinds of gunk into those carpets. Now it's time to get ready. If Buster's been wiping his back end on that carpet, you got to get it cleaned.
Oh, he's a fairly clean dog. But every once in a while, we do have to have the carpet cleaners
Who's cleaner, Gracie or Buster?
Oh, Gracie. Probably more Gracie. Buster's just he's a little stinkier dog, and he's got a little more grease in the coat.
Yeah.
if you got dogs, you do want to have Zero Res come in and get those carpets clean. There's no question.
Yeah, they specialize in those pet stains too.
They're really good.
They've got somebody who's you get that dog that gets a little not quite as trained as he'd like it to be.
They've got some protectants they can put into the carpet too.
Hatch, are you a dog guy?
Grew up with a dog in the family. Currently don't have one, but eventually we'd like to have one again.
Hatch has got the little kids that are taking a lot of time.
They do take up a lot of time.
For the good today, so yesterday in the Sunday night game, a really scary situation where defensive lineman for the Seahawks goes down, Daryl Taylor, and really scary moment. He was stretchered off, and you know, anytime that happens in the game of football, you worry because we've seen guys who are paralyzed, some that make some type of recovery, some that don't make any recovery at all, but it's a long, miserable life, you know, when you have some level of injury like that at such a young age. And a lot of people were waiting for an update. Well, good news, Taylor actually made the trip back with his team. This is according to Pete Carroll. He said it was really good. Taylor was carted off, taken to a nearby hospital after suffering an injury in the fourth quarter. He went on and he said that Taylor has full movement, his arms and legs. And he also said, this is a quote, Scotty, he said, he was so mad about having to be taken off the field like that. He wanted to get up. They just wouldn't let him do it because they had to do all the secure methods to take care of him and all of that. But, man, he didn't want any part of that, being stretchered off the field.
No.
I've got a lot of thoughts on that. You know, it's difficult. It's a really difficult call. Maybe a conversation that I don't need to get real deep into right now, but when he's telling the trainers, no, I just want to get up. No, I feel okay. No, I just needed to lay here for a second and analyze this. And I feel okay now. No, I need to get up and move. And they're telling him, no, I don't know that. I know that that's a fine line to walk, Scotty. And I know health is first and foremost, but sometimes the concern and the worry of the theatrics of being stretchered off the field, it puts people in a panic. It put me in a panic, and I don't even know the guy. It's just I knew a guy that passed away on the field because he broke his neck. You remember the whole story. It was
Absolutely.
In the AFL. We were in the locker room at halftime when we got news that one of the L.A. AFL players had just broke his neck. And we didn't know at that time that he'd passed away. We just knew he broke his neck. And he didn't make it. It was severe. So I understand, like, you want to be cautious. You want to be careful. But it's also difficult to hear these stories where he did not want any part of it. And apparently was telling the training staff and the medical assistants, I don't want any part of this. Just let me get up.
You got to trust the medical guys, though. Like, I get it. I totally understand. But their number one priority is your safety. And if they feel like if he gets up and he starts to twist that neck around a little bit, something bad could happen. And so I understand, like, I would much rather have an overabundance of caution than all of a sudden cause further damage. And that's their livelihoods on the line, too. I mean, obviously, they care about you, but they're also like, hey, look, I got to make sure that I'm doing my job to the best of my ability, and I'm gonna take the precautions necessary.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to do the best they can.
You got stuff to say.
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff to say. I got a lot. But you know what? It's just not – I don't think it's real pertinent. And I don't think, you know, some of my comments might not be the most educated in the situation. So this is one of those times where I'm just going to say, you know what, Scotty? Yep, let them do the check. Let them make that call. Let them make that call.
See, part of me is like, okay, what else can I needle here to let Mount Vesuvius erupt over there? And then I probably think maybe that's not such a good
idea. I'm not going to get into some of the depths of what I want to say, because I do think they're out there trying to do the best they can for the most part. But there are times in a football game where you take a hit and you take a shot and your body goes into a bit of shock.
Yes.
And you're exhausted. You're breathing hard. And you get this instant shock of worry and concern. And you just need a minute to lay there and just assess things. You know, you're tweaking the shoulders and you're moving the head around a little bit. You saw it with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield took a horrible shot. Looked like he'd maybe twisted his spine or dislocated his non-throwing shoulder. And he's you could tell, like, he's really hurting. And he just needed some time to fill his body out. And there are times where you just need to fill your body out. And I don't need everybody around me. I don't need people in my face telling me to hold still. Just let me do what I need to do and fill my body for a second. Because I know something happened. I don't know how extreme it is. But just back off and let me figure this out. And then once I turn the neck a little bit, I'm thinking, all right, I did take a weird shot, a little bit of a stinger. You know what? I think I'm okay here, guys. No. And you're right. They've got to cover their bases. And I will let them
We're
do that.
We're all about CYA, man.
And you know what? That's where I will leave my comments. But I will tell you I'm very opinionated in this area.
I had not noticed. Hey, also for those trainers, it's their
we
time.
We got to move on.
Their trainers, nope. It's their time to shine, man. They get a little TV time.
Don't. Nope. Move on. No.
You are just trying,
don't.
Aren't you?
Stop it. I know what you're doing, and I'm not going to do this because then I have to deal with it.
Hands.
I'm not dealing with it.
This is what we call PK mode.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Because he knows I've got issues, like real issues. That's not even funny.
I'm sorry.
No, you're hanging me out to dry.
I'm sorry.
Stop it. Play the bad sound.
Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Yeah.
Because everybody's showing up to those games to see the trainers. All right, good, the bad, the ugly. Let's get to the bad, shall we? I'm sorry.
Another situation, and I don't know how bad this is, but Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are right now 5-1.
Got a
really nice win. In the final play in this game against New England, after Dak Prescott had thrown for 445 yards and 3 touchdowns, he tweaked his calf. He's now in a walking boot. He does have a bye week, which is perfectly timed to get this bye week. But he tweaked a calf. It's not that broken ankle that he had. It's not the bone. It's not the ligaments. It's the muscle that he felt tweak. And they've put him in a boot for precautionary measures. My guess on all of this is, after the bye week, we'll see Dak Prescott behind center.
I think he's going to be fine. I'm going to be all right. Precautionary at best. He's all right. Probably had a bunch of trainers there trying to overdo it with him a little bit. And so I think he's okay. I think he can be just fine.
We know what you're trying to do here.
All right, let's move
on. I'm dizzy.
I know you are.
And I'm surprised the trainer's not rushing in to put me on the ground and say, just lay there, we'll get this taken care of.
Okay. All right, let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
All right, kind of a potentially ugly situation. Lane Kiffin, as Ole Miss goes on the road, he makes his return to Neyland Stadium, former coach at Tennessee, and Ole Miss gets it done. They knock off Tennessee. As he's walking off the field, have you seen the film on this, by the way?
No.
As he's walking off the field, and he's being escorted by two police officers, and as they're walking by the student section, hold on, let me make sure I can get this. I can show this to you. As Lane Kiffin's walking to the locker room, he's got the escorted by the two police officers. Guess what comes flying in, and you also get a chance to see the cat-like reflexes of Lane Kiffin as the cops both duck away. A bottle of pop is thrown at Lane Kiffin.
First time?
He just reaches up and snags it while the cops duck away trying to avoid it. Those are guys that I don't know if I'm overly thrilled about them and their protection ability.
Look at Lane. Look at him like, you guys all right? First time you had something chucked to your head.
You guys
head,
good?
Huh?
All right, I'm glad. So, again, I put it on the ugly because, look, don't be throwing things at people on a football field. It's not okay. Shouldn't be doing that. However, Lane Kiffin, who, by the way, is far better on Twitter than he is on real life.
Yeah, he's funny.
Like, you hear his interviews, and he's boring. On Twitter, he's great. And he tweeted out with a clip of the video saying, I asked for one for the road, and you guys threw me this. Great game, great atmosphere. Needed that here at Ole Miss. That was fun.
It looks like... Take a look at that again. It looks like there's something nasty in that bottle.
I think somebody had been got the old tobacco and was using it as a...
Yeah, it looked like there's something nasty in there.
There was the golf ball earlier on in that game that was thrown at him.
Yeah, he picked up and held that golf ball.
He still got it.
Stop throwing stuff, guys. Come on. What are you doing?
If I'm Lane Kiffin, I just whisper over to the cop. I point at the guy who did it. I say, get your taser out. And you go put however many bolts into that dude right there.
You put Billy Bob,
because I got
taser him.
I've got chew spit on my face right now. I'm not happy about that. And you weren't happy about having that chucked at you. And I think it would have at least hit that cop's hat if Lane Kiffin wouldn't have caught it. And if the cop wouldn't have ducked.
Look, nothing but respect for our boys in blue.
Oh, yeah.
But those two they're not providing the protection you would certainly hope from your police officer.
Get the taser.
Go get him.
Go get him, man. You can't have somebody chucking stuff at you. That's pretty bold, by the way.
Yeah.
A little liquid courage, I'm sure, was involved on that.
Yeah, there's probably a certain element of that.
Would you ever in your right mind, or in your wrong mind, would you ever think to chuck something at a coach that's being escorted by two cops?
I've never been at a point in my life where I at a game. Now, look, in employment, I've wanted to throw things at people before, but I've never... done that.
I've seen you throw people.
Okay, never. Stop.
Sorry.
I didn't throw anybody.
You didn't throw something at somebody, but you threw somebody.
Like
my second day on the job.
One of the most exaggerated events in the history of this radio station.
You kind of did, though.
I did not.
Yes, he did.
No, I did not.
Anywho.
I've never been in any event where I'm like, I get so mad where I'm like, look at the bottle of water. I'm like, I'm going to throw this.
Not a chance.
That takes a certain level of anger. Like, there's this video floating around of this brawl. I don't know if you call it a brawl. Look more like a slap fest of these fans in the Minnesota-Carolina game.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
There's been a lot of fan fights.
Is it because we're all cooped up for a year and now we're back in public at games and
we can't
keep our emotions in check?
I do think, and I'm not even joking about this, I do think to a certain extent people have forgotten how to act in public. And I told you I just recently went to a movie. And two rows behind me, this husband and wife was talking. They were talking like they were in their downstairs theater, just having a full-on conversation like they were in their theater in their house in a very important part of the movie that was a little bit more.
Was it that?
Yes.
Last Duel?
And they're just, hey, yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm just looking at them like, are you guys for real? Like, a little bit of etiquette. I get it's at theater, and I know that this might be your first time out in a year and a half, but can we all just remember that when you go into public, you're in public? And fighting in public is still wrong. It's not your house. You don't get to act like a complete drunken idiot and not have repercussion. And to the person that's seeing this drunken idiot and has just had enough of it, maybe try moving, go talk to security, get out of there. Because I know that drunken idiots are hitting an all-time high in our country right now. And they're making it no fun for family attendance. They're making no fun for anybody's attendance. When you got an absurdly drunk individual that thinks it's funny to yell the F word and be completely just disgusting and gross and vulgar. Can we just remember that we're in public, man? And then... if we can all figure out a better way to deal with that idiot, I'm hoping that security can fix those moments because it does take from the joy of an event. And instead of being able to watch your favorite team win, you're being ushered out because you started a fight with a guy that deserved to have his teeth knocked in because he was having all these vulgarities and completely drunk and maybe he spilt his drink on somebody. Please remember how to act. I mean, we've got the Jazz season kicking up here in a bit.
Yeah.
When you come into Vivint Arena, understand it's not your house. You don't own it. You own that seat for that game, but you've got responsibilities as a fan to make it somewhat acceptable for the people around you. And yeah, the arena wants to serve you beer because, you know, they know a guy comes in, wants to enjoy a good ice-cold beer while he's watching a game, and they want to provide you that luxury. But if you come in and you've already done a little bit of pre-tailgating and you come in fueled up and you take a few more in and you get vulgar and you get belligerent, you deserve to have somebody stop you.
Yes. In fact, I think we need to be more strict. I'm not talking about Vivint. I'm just talking about in general. Like I really wish we were. I think there's a certain feeling of like, well, they pay for the ticket. And no, there's a certain element. You boo, you yell, you're thrilled, you're excited. But when you make life miserable for people around you, you need to be gone. When you're disrespectful in a vulgar way, boom, you need to be gone. I think people think, I paid my ticket, I can act however I want. That's bull.
It's so hard as a man, though, and I'm sure it's hard as a grown woman. You know, you got kids, and you're sitting at a game or you're sitting at a concert, and you've got these people in front of you or behind you that are vulgar and disgusting. And I don't mind, like, being a crazy fan of an opposing team behind me or in front of me, I'm fine. If you're just crazy and you're wearing the gear and you're having fun and your comments are you know, inside of a frame of not being disgusting, I'm fine. In fact, I had that exact experience, and I ended up talking to the people next to me, and their kid was on the court. They had a kid that was on the team, and it was fun going back and forth with them. But it's tough as a grown man or a grown woman, Scotty, where you're seeing this disgusting behavior, and then you're finally thinking to yourself, well, am I going to go be a tattletale now? Is that what I've got to go do?
Yeah.
I got to, or can I handle this myself, or do I need to go be a tattletale? I suggest go be a tattletale.
Yeah.
Don't do it yourself, because there is staff put in place to stop that. And these ridiculous fights, that's what it comes from. Somebody in their mind being like, well, I'm just going to take care of this myself.
Got a text line available. You got ushers. Let them do it.
Go tell security.
Yeah.
And don't put up with too much.
That's my point.
If it's out of control, you've got a right to your ticket. You've got a right to feel comfortable in your space.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. What you may have missed coming up next.
This is DJ and PK.
Eric Walden, Jazz beat writer for the Salt Lake Tribune.
Jazz had a great season last year, and it sucked the way it ended for Jazz fans, obviously. But they were still a great team. On paper, I think they're better. Fair or foul?
I agree with that. I do feel like on paper, they've addressed a lot of the issues that really hurt them in that Clippers series. Theoretically, the Jazz are a lot deeper. They're a little more matchup proof. I think if we're saying what's the ideal version of this team, they're probably missing another lengthy wing capable of defending and switching and hitting some threes, but those guys don't grow on trees. They should be good. They should be improved. They should be capable of winning or at least competing for a championship this year. So I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Time for another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Brought to you by good friends over at EliteWorks. You get that website rebuilt right now for free.
844-523-2777. EliteWorks. You can find them at EliteWorks.com, but call them 844-523-2777. Get a new website built or get one that you have that you hate. Get it fixed. They can do it all, and they do the rebuilds for free. So take advantage of it. Oh, Scotty, this might be one of my favorite videos all time. So this happened in Queensland, Australia.
Yeah.
And it's a guy, he stole a backloader, and he crashed through a motorbike shop, and he scooped up, actually tied up two motorbikes and lifted them up with the front loader, and backed out of there and just wanted these two motorbikes and started to head home with them. And what he realized really quickly was his getaway vehicle just wasn't real fast. So the cops, like, pull up on him, and he's still going with these two motorbikes. And the cops are like, hey, pull over. And they pull over next to him. They're like, pull over. And he's like, no. And they chase him because you can't stop it.
It's no, just, he can't. No, it's a Carnegie, but thanks for noticing.
You can't stop him, but he can't get away. Eventually, he's going to run out of gas. So the cops just kind of got behind him, and they were like, well, we'll just wait for him to run out.
Not quite a high-speed chase there.
Yeah. So finally, the guy realizes he's not getting away. So he stops it and tries to get out of the front loader and run. And they caught him because he wasn't real fast either.
Hey, the guy wanted a motorbike for a reason.
Yeah. It's too bad he couldn't have one of those. He probably could have jumped out. Yeah. Maybe got away. But watching this huge front loader driving down the road with two bikes attached to it, you got to watch the video, two bikes attached to it, and the cops just kind of following him like, what is this idiot doing?
Moron.
Yep.
All right, Andrew Reinhart's with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Don't be a moron. Don't think this issue is going to go away. It's not. You can get it taken care of, though. Andrew Reinhart's with you to help you out if you're dealing with some issues in the bedroom.
Yes, that is right. It typically doesn't go away on its own. Unfortunately, guys, even with mild erectile dysfunction, experience so much frustration in the bedroom, that performance anxiety, hey, is it going to work? Or when's the pill going to kick in? Decreased intimacy with the significant other. That's a bad thing, too. And Wasatch Medical, I think this is really the future of treating the problem. It's called wave therapy. We have the two strongest and most studied forms, backed by the Cleveland Clinic, by Cambridge University studies. Gently opens up and regrows blood vessels. You come into the clinic for about 10 minutes. You might do a few of those sessions. That is it. And so many couples are getting back to normal function in the bedroom. You don't have to be frustrated anymore.
801-901-8000. Let's talk about the free stuff, too.
There is so much free today. If you're ready to regain your love life, or if you just want to improve frequency, we do a lot of that. Call us now. You'll meet with our medical doctor, Murray or St. George, free. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound free. The gift rarely fails, produces immediate results in the bedroom. And here's some really significant value today. Blood work and testosterone is totally no charge as well.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now. Coming up next, Clark Phillips joins us straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.